From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of March, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Mexican officials say they'll allow U.S. meat imports, this despite a move to block other products. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is making his first appointment to the University of Illinois trustees, and the candidate has a strong ag background. And the Secretary of Ag says the Obama administration may very well revamp its first attempt at reforming farm subsidies. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you how the falling price of fertilizer might impact the number of acres farmers plant to corn this spring. And as we close out the half-hour program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat, $5.30, a settlement price down 22.5. July at 542.5, 22.25 lower. And September at 567, down 22 cents. December futures, 588.5, 21.75 lower. May corn futures at 388.25, down 2.25. July at 398.5, 2.25 lower. September down 2 cents at 407.25. And December corn, 418.75 for the new crop, a settlement price down 2 cents. The March 2010 contract, 1.5 lower, to settle at $4.29.75 in the corn pit. Soybean futures, May contract up 2 cents, 9.15 a settlement price. July at 9.11.75, up 1.25 a bushel. The August finished unchanged at $8.96. September soybeans, 8.68, 4.5 lower. The November contract at $8.56 a bushel, down 5 cents for the day. And January 2010 at 865.5, down 7 cents. May bean meal futures, 289.50, up 3.50. July up $3 at 285.40. May bean oil at 30.92, down 39. And the April live cattle futures, down 75 cents at 83.55. March feeders, $93.75, up 47.5. April lean hogs, 10 cents higher at 62.25. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby April crude oil futures, $48.14 a barrel. A settlement price, $1.02 higher. April ethanol at $1.55.09, 0.4 of a cent higher. And natural gas up 12.4 at 3, or down 12.4 at $3.68.08. Art Bob gasoline, $1.38.06, 3.7 lower. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, down a penny on the afternoon at $1.26.04. Propane futures, a penny and a half higher at 65.6 of a cent, and gold at $888.70, down $27.70 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 75.55, just about 160 points higher on the day. And the U.S. dollar this afternoon, trading at 84.62, is down 2.24 for the day. CRB index at 214.33. is down 2.13 on the afternoon. Just a quick reminder, please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily ag programming, including the opening and pre-opening market report, Sue Martin at the noon hour, and the closing market report, along with the tab for Commodity Week. If you'd like to listen to that program, it's our premier ag programming. We record it on a weekly basis at 4:30 on Saturday, or rather on Friday afternoon. Airs on this radio station on Saturday morning. It's all at willag.org. Don't forget, if you can't get to the website, you can always pick up our daily programming on our telephone line. The phone number is 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. Updated with numbers and futures at 10:30 and 3:15 daily.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Taking a look now at what happened in the agricultural futures with us this afternoon on the closing market report is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. And the big news item, right after the market closed, the Fed announced an unchanged rate on the Fed funds, but they announced that they're buying over $1 trillion, over $1.1 trillion worth of securities, 750 mortgage-backed federal agency securities, $300 billion in treasuries.
Right.
And this basically collapsed the dollar, rallied the bonds, creating a opportunity of lower mortgage rates. And it probably will stabilize home values and property values in the U.S. It is a big step by the Federal Reserve. It's a gigantic step for the Federal Reserve. And it will change the wheat close and, example, wheat and probably corn and soybeans today. People mentioned that the wheat sold off, which is already heavily short, based on the weakness in the outside markets. Of course, the grains closed, and then the Fed announced this, and this probably will change the tone. Now, is the stock market going to go up substantially for here? That's an interesting idea, but it does change the playing field enormously in the financial world in the U.S., and it's probably an extremely historic major by Bernanke doing this because of the volume of the stimulus and the new power that the Fed is taking on.
Yeah, well, I believe it's power that the Fed has had. Let me go back through these numbers real quickly with you because I do have it in front of me. The Federal Reserve says it will buy up to $300 billion, that's with a B, in longer-term treasuries, and raise the size of lending programs already aimed at reducing mortgage rates by another $750 billion. And this is from the Wall Street Journal. It says it's a forceful reminder that officials still have powerful tools to combat the recession. The commitment to buy Treasury securities and additional mortgage-related debt should mean lower rates for a variety of business and consumer loans. They did not take action. The Federal Open Market Committee, that is, voted 10-0 to hold the target federal funds rate for interbank lending at the same spot it had been previously. So all those things happened this afternoon. And as you mentioned correctly, Paul, that happened after the close today. And you're suggesting that it should be good for agriculture, at least in the very short term.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the outside markets like crude oil was trading lower. The stock market was trading lower. We've been complaining about the strength in the dollar, the not being able to sell our commodities and our Caterpillar tractors and John Deere combines in the world market. Also, the marketplace is horribly bearish, has been horribly bearish. You know, all-day outlook meeting, you know, suggested even the audience was horribly bearish the stock market. As recently as Commodity Week, there was only one person on Commodity Week on Saturday that seemed like he was a little positive.
Right.
Dan, everybody else was horribly bearish. So it has. This is going to help stabilize the tone and at least give a tremendous stimulus. And, of course, Bernanke also left the door open for other things necessary to make things happen. So I think it is a monumental deal, and it's probably a very historic deal today.
You say stabilize. That doesn't necessarily mean friendly. That just means sideways
well,
to some extent.
Well, I think that the one thing that I want to share with you is,
okay,
that, whenever the stock market was under 7,000, basically, people started to contract and, stop spending, stop buying new equipment for the factory, stop buying, stop buying a television set. And I think that people started to do things in a contractual basis, contracting their spending and contraction and all sorts of things. So it does show that if the stock market is above the 7,000 mark, that we can work our way out of the problem, and that's that's the big monumental deal. Keep government, keep the banks, keep our economic system functioning in a normal manner.
Do you have the stock market numbers in front of you?
Right now, it's the futures are at 74.70, up 116, and the Dow is 128, up 75.23. Just tremendous volume that's going on at the present time.
Right. The numbers we have are real-time quotes for Chicago Board of Trade and CME Group and all of those, but my numbers for the Dow, at least on our Profit X system, are 15
I would say
delayed.
My hunch is that I think we could see the Dow up close to 200 points up here by the end of the day, but we don't have, you know, a lot of times the big moves come in that last 30 minutes of trade.
Right, so we'll have to wait it out and see how it trades and listen for that later in the day. You're feeling more confident, I take it, today than you have in a while.
Well, I think we have to. And, of course, we have a lot of hurdles in front of us, like livestock industry, getting exports out into the marketplace, and this cheaper dollar is also a factor there. And getting world commerce to get back in action, so those positive things I think are positive here today.
In the state of Illinois, did you happen to hear Governor Quinn's address today, or the results of that address, a raise the income tax to 4.5%?
Well, you know, the state government is in a paralysis and a state of emergency, and so to speak, and, you know, if it's necessary, that's the way to go. And, of course, I drive home, several miles on some very bumpy roads, and our infrastructure's in trouble. And hopefully we'll get things going again here in the state.
All right. So what are you telling producers when they call now after all of this has happened today? What's your advice to them at this point? Are you going to tell them to hang steady at this point and not make new sales on old crop?
Well, I think that we have to, change some of our philosophy. And, of course, I still think that a lot of $4 cash corn needs to be moved. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's still in the cards. And, move some beans. These old crop beans in the $9 to $10 area. So I think those things are there and are marketable, and I think we have to at least have confidence in our system that it's going to survive.
And your thoughts on the livestock industry as we move forward?
Well, it's going to struggle. And, my only opinion is if you're employed, buy some more beef, pork, and chicken and keep the livestock industry alive.
Ethanol industry. The auction continues with Verison. ADM, of course, your employer, is one of the bidders. I don't expect you to talk too much about that, but maybe do you feel a turnaround for that industry coming to?
Well, I think it's important that the EPA makes the proper decisions in increasing the blends and supporting the American farmer because, it is the right spot if we can turn the blends around, increase that. It will help the corn market out directly and also encourage a lot of employment with getting these plants running again and new investments. So it's a thumbs up for the Midwest, and it's really a strategic energy. It's homegrown. We don't have to have warships, battleships, submarines, airplanes protecting our corn crop here in the state of Illinois.
Well, on that notable note, we'll let you go for the day.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Did you happen to like what you heard on the Closing Mark Report or Commodity Week or our other ag programming? Wanted to hear it again? Didn't quite catch everything? You can always pick up our programming anytime you'd like in completion on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can even sign up to have it delivered directly to your computer as a podcast and for our weekend newsletter. And if you can't get to all of that or hear us on the radio, you can hear a portion of the futures commentary and some of the numbers daily at 10:30 and 3:15 just by dialing this phone number. It's 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Up next, Dave Dickey is here. He'll take you through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, Mexico officials say U.S. meat exports will be excluded from Mexico's tariff increases planned for 90 U.S. agricultural and industrial products. The highest tariffs are planned in retaliation for Washington's move to ban Mexican trucks from entering the United States. Mexico imports up to 35% of the meat it consumes, the bulk of that which comes from the United States. An agribusiness leader from Greenville is Illinois Governor Pat Quinn's choice to serve on the University of Illinois Board of Trustees. U of I graduate Ed McMillan is a former CEO with Purina Mills, who now runs a consulting business. He's also stayed involved with the university, serving on its Alumni Association and U of I Foundation boards, and heads the Board of Managers that oversees U of I research parks in Champaign and Chicago. McMillan says he wants to draw on that research, working further to lure new technology to the campuses, and he says a nimble and creative approach to higher education funding will yield some of those benefits.
The ability to attract and retain what I would call world-class people to the institution in both teaching and research and development of technology and outreach, which is of course very important to the College of Ag and to agribusiness in Illinois, but outreach and extension is also very important.
The 63-year-old McMillan is a 1969 agriculture science graduate. If confirmed, McMillan will replace Robert Sperling and will be one of three downstate voting members. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the Obama administration is intent on farm subsidy reform, but it may take a different form than a widely criticized package of proposed cuts. Some farm groups and lawmakers say the $9.8 billion package proposed on February 26 is dead in Congress. Vilsack says he is open to discussions on how to achieve farm subsidy reform. He listed deficit reduction along with expansion of child nutrition and biofuels programs as premier objectives. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, the falling price of fertilizer might just make it more profitable to grow corn this year rather than soybean. Expected lower fertilizer prices in 2009 may lead to an increase in corn profitability relative to soybean profitability, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke. Schnittke has just released a report. It's titled Fertilizer Prices Likely to Decline in 2009. It can be found online at the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. I'll repeat that again at the end of this report. As of yet, Schnittke says prices farmers pay for fertilizer have not decreased as much as declines in wholesale prices. In fact, retail prices have not declined much at all in many areas of Illinois. That steady higher price can be attributed to larger unsold fertilizer inventories held by many retailers. Retailers, of course, will lose money on those inventories if they follow wholesale prices down. And while retailers will suffer financial losses, Schnittke says there are incentives for farmers to delay purchasing fertilizers, waiting for fertilizer prices to decline. Although he admits waiting to purchase fertilizer poses some risk to farmers. Among these, he says, is the possibility supplies become limited if suppliers curtail production. Geopolitical events may also impact prices. The point here is not that these or other events will occur, but that there remains risk for higher fertilizer prices, and that as farmers make planting decisions, up-to-date fertilizer prices should be used in calculating relative profitabilities. The lower the price of nitrogen fertilizer, the more likely it is that corn will become the cash king again. You can read what Gary Schnitke has to say on the Farm Doc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I called up to the Andersons at Delphi, Indiana, their Clymers facility, which is also an ethanol facility there, and promptly hung up on Aaron Anderson, who now joins us, finally. My mistake, Aaron. Sorry about that. I don't think we've talked before. Tell me about yourself, please.
I just started with the Andersons probably about 4 to 5 months ago. Graduated from Purdue and worked in banking before coming here.
All right. Well, congratulations. And let's put you on the hot seat. Tell me about your ethanol facility and how it's functioning at this point.
We're running to full capacity right now, actually doing fairly well given the circumstances of the market. But we haven't had any slowdowns, taking a lot of corn in. Actually, the past 2 weeks has been really hot with corn here. So had to stop receiving at noon this week, but rolling at full capacity. So hope to open it up full hours next week again.
Does this mean your basis has widened up on corn at this point then?
Yeah, well, our basis weakened a little bit here in the past couple of days. March and the first half of April, we're paying five under the May.
And then what are your bids for the day?
Cash bid into Clymers is 383.
Thank you much. We appreciate you being with us.
Hey, have a good one.
That is Aaron Anderson with the Andersons. He's at their Clymers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with the Closing Market Report weather.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. Housing lender.
It's National Green Beer Day. The holiday is thought to have begun in the early 1940s on the campus of Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, during a time when the U.S. was experiencing grain shortages during World War II. Bars and restaurants in Oxford today opened as early as 4:30 a.m. to serve green eggs and ham and green bagels to hungry students. It's also St. Patrick's Day in honor of Ireland's patron saint. Celebration of St. Patrick began in 1737 among Irish immigrants to the U.S., where the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in Boston, organized by the Charitable Irish Society. It's also St. Gertrude Day. She is known as the patron of gardeners. On this day in agricultural history in 1751, Anders Dahl was born, a renowned Swedish botanist. The Dahlia flower was named for him. In 1834, Gottlieb Wilhelm Daimler was born. He invented the first high-speed combustion engine in 1883. 2 years later, he added a carburetor and built what some say was the world's first motorbike. He followed that up in 1886 with the construction of a four-wheeled automobile capable of a speed of 11 miles per hour. And in 1845, Englishman Steve Perry received a patent for the rubber band. It was made from vulcanized rubber, but the idea originated with Thomas Hancock, who around 1820 sliced up a bottle made out of the tree milk of the Southern American rubber tree. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is with us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I hear it's not going to be as pretty the next few days here in the Midwest as it was earlier today and yesterday.
Well, you know, it is still that transitional time in our lives here where we're moving from winter to spring, and it's always a battle here. We will find the weather improving again at some point down the road, but we do have a bit of active weather headed our way. The cooler air that's settling into the region now is not likely to generate a tremendous amount of precipitation, so that's kind of good news. So we'll have a little band of light precipitation that will come across the region, but it really won't be all that great. The surface high pressure system will settle over us on Thursday night into Friday, give us clear skies for a brief period of time. It'll be kind of cool out there, some frost and freezes across a very large portion of the Midwest, and then as the high pressure system shifts off to the east, we'll bring some warmer and moist air northward out of the Gulf of Mexico into the western Corn Belt and eventually across Illinois and Indiana, setting off some more showers and thunderstorms. That precipitation will most likely occur as we go into the weekend. And we will kind of go downhill after that with more showers and thunderstorms expected as we go into the early to middle part of next week, with some possible severe thunderstorms maybe coming up around during the early half of next week as we go again from warm back to cold again.
Hey, that shot of showers that you're talking about coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico, will it pass over those portions of the hard red winter wheat belt that have been very dry? And if so, might it actually drop a little precipitation upon them?
I think there will be some showers that will occur out that way. The unfortunate thing is that the corridor for the moisture flow northward will be mostly across central and east Texas, and then curving from there through Missouri and eastern Kansas into Illinois and Wisconsin. So it probably won't do a very good job bringing moisture into west Texas or western Kansas. However, with that said, there will be at least a little bit more moisture available in the atmosphere, a little closer to those areas. So when a low-pressure system finally works its way into those areas towards the early part of next week, we should set off at least a little bit of light precipitation. It won't amount to much, but it'll be better than nothing. Those areas have gone 90 to 120 days with not much more than a half inch of moisture in western Kansas, and they are definitely long overdue for precipitation. They might get a tenth to 4 or 5 tenths of an inch of moisture out of this deal by the time we're done with midweek next week.
Have you been keeping an eye on other growing areas around the world? For instance, how's China setting up?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned China. China has gone into a period of rather significant warming here in the past 2 or 3 days, bringing more of its winter wheat crop out of dormancy. And if you recall, several weeks ago, the Chinese government came out and was trying to tell us all that their wheat crop was in a severe drought and that they were going to have all kinds of problems. Well, it has been precipitating off and on since that report came out in early February, so their soil situation is not as bad as it was back then. And now that the crop is breaking dormancy, it will be very important that they continue to get timely rainfall. And over this next week to 10 days, I think they'll get some precipitation that will further help the situation. So I think that the situation in China is far better than what was advertised to be a few weeks back.
Drew, we'll talk with you again in a week.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.